So, good afternoon once again. It is my privilege to be able to present, to introduce you to Martin Otto once again. Martin was here a couple of times last year. Martin, would you mind please coming forwards? Let us pray for him before. You can clap. So Martin is going to share with us a little bit about his ministry based here in Hamburg. He has a wonderful ministry. He will share with us a little bit about that, and then he will also share God's word for us today. And so let me just pray a word of blessing upon Martin. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for how you have so richly used this man, this servant of yours, Jesus. I just pray that the message that you have laid on his heart for us today would speak to our hearts. May he speak with your boldness, God, with the unction of your Holy Spirit, with freedom and authority. I thank you for him, and may you richly bless this time. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Well, it's a great joy to be with you today again. When James asked me if I could come in January, I thought, no way, not possible. But God just made a way, and now today I'm here, so thank God. I would like to introduce a ministry for those who have not heard about the ministry. My wife and myself, we are working among seafarers in the port of Hamburg. We visit the cargo and cruise ships and try to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the seafarers who work on board. Now, you have all known cruise ships because a lot of people do cruises throughout the world, and they always see the beauty of these cruise ships. But I concentrate not on the beauty of the cruise ships. I concentrate on the people who work below the deck, who work 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, 9 months at a time. And these are people from around 70 different countries of the world, and they are really a forgotten people. Many mission societies, many churches have never thought about this ministry, but God put it on our heart, and we want to reach them with the wonderful message of our Savior Jesus Christ. So I've asked the guys at the Technique there to just show us a few slides. This is one of the largest bulk carriers here. They carry coal and grain and what else, and there are about roughly 20 seafarers on board. I just raise a hand when you can give the next picture. You see how they do the loading and discharging. It's always a very interesting day when you can really experience how everything works. These people are under terrible stress. The company want to have the ship to sail as soon as possible. They don't want any delays because any delay costs a lot of money. Millions and millions of dollars worth is the cargo. So the cargo needs to be transported very, very quickly. So the seafarers are under an enormous amount of stress. When they have stress, how do you communicate with them? That's not easy. We always need to ask the Holy Spirit to give us godly wisdom because they have little sleep. They often work 10 hours a day. Then they have a few hours rest, and then maybe they're called up in the middle of the night because the ship is sailing. And then they continue working. And then they have reached a port, and then Martin Otto is coming, trying to share the gospel, and they are overtired. It's not easy. And how do you deal with people who are under stress? Not only under stress, but they also miss their family. They're lonely. They are isolated, and they might have communication problems on the ship. And then I'm coming as a missionary trying to say, Jesus loves you. Jesus is your best friend. Jesus wants to save you. And sometimes they just close their ears. So I want to challenge you. I want to ask you, please pray for these men and women on board these ships so they will be able to understand the most powerful message about our Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah, these are these modern container ships. They are getting bigger, bigger, bigger all the time. When I was working as a shipping agent some years ago, We had ships of about 1,000 containers. Now the biggest ship in the world has 24,000 containers on one ship. So you can see sometimes a truck going through your street with two containers, but these ships have 24,000. So it's really, really amazing what is being transported. By the way, I sometimes want to ask people, do you like coffee? They always say, yes, I like coffee. Where's the coffee? And then I ask them, where do you get the coffee from? They say, from the Edeka or Aldi or Lidl. I say, no, don't tell me that. The coffee comes from Colombia. The coffee comes from Africa. And these seafarers transport the coffee to you. So we all, you all, should say thank you for the seafarers. Without them, we had no coffee. We had no chocolate. Many beauties of this life we would not have if there are no seafarers. So just pray for these men and women. This is just a picture into a cargo hold. Almost 10 containers down and about 10 up. This is, you can go on. Never mind. Next one. This is one of the most modern cruise ships, P&O cruises. About 5,200 passengers. So if you want to make a cruise, you can book there, no problem. And about 1,700 seafarers from around 50 different countries. And you just wonder, what will you experience? What kind of people will be there? They are working, and their contract is written 10 hours a day, but often 12 to 14. On cruise ships, they work more than on cargo ships. So it's a lot of stress and hectic, I repeat myself. But in this kind of stress environment, we need to bring the gospel. Yeah. But people are really searching for some hope, for some answers to their fears and problems. So please pray that these people will really understand why they need Jesus. Next one. We are very often invited in a very, very friendly way from the shipping companies. They make some nice posters and they introduce us, so that's really big help. Next one, please. And here we are on a cruise ship. These are Filipino seafarers on this one. And when my wife and myself went there, we couldn't believe what we experienced. They were just crazy for Christian literature. I had two big bags full of books and Bibles and tracts and whatever. And it was finished in a very short time. About 125 books went out, 25 Bibles. By the way, I'm happy if in Hamburg I can give a Bible to a German once in a year. I'm happy. Or even two Bibles. Well, that's great success, right? But here I give Bibles every day because the people long for a spiritual revival in their life. They know they need God. Without God, they cannot do the job. Next one. The typical situation, my wife is sharing the gospel with two cards. Yeah, it's like a little illustration. And people listen to her. Not like in Germany where people say, I don't need that, you know. Go away. No. They are really interested. And we want to use the opportunity that God has given us. But again, I repeat myself, we need prayers that the word of God can penetrate the hearts of the seafarers. Next one. I was invited to this ship that was in Hamburg for repairs, and some of the seafarers came to IBC here. Next to me is the chief engineer. He was here, I think, four or five times, right, with other seafarers, and they were so excited to meet you. They were so encouraged. You were a blessing for them, because if they sail 9 months on the oceans, they have no chance to visit church. They have no chance to have Bible studies. But now they were able to come here and be blessed and hear the word of God. Are you happy to go to church on Sunday? I hope so, because they are longing for a church. For them is something very, very, very special. Once in a contract, once in 9 months, attending church. Wow, that's absolutely brilliant, beautiful. So I was able to share the word of God there. I was able to deliver Christmas presents to these guys. They were so happy. And it was a great, great time. They were really listening very, very well. Next one. A captain from Panama. He was happy for Christian Fellowship. He was a devoted Christian. But he shared to me a prayer request. He says, my mom, who was a Christian, turned to Islam. This was a big shock to him. Now, he has to sail with that thought for 9 months. My mom is a Muslim. My mom is a Muslim. That's a big burden to him. He has a lot of responsibilities, taking care of the cargo, taking care of the seafarers. And then back in his mind, my mom has become a Muslim. And then he comes home for only 2 months vacation and has to sail again for another 9 months. That's a very, very difficult time. So these guys need prayer. Next one. This is a nice lady. I want to introduce her to her, to you. She was the first Filipino lady captain, the very first one ever. And everybody on the internet said, congratulations, congratulations, congratulations. So, of course, Martin Otto said, congratulations. But I said also, can you please help me, Captain? I'm writing a book about how to be a successful seafarer. She said, yes, I help you. No problem. And she communicated with me quite often, quite regularly. And then she said, no, I am transferred to Singapore as superintendent. And I said, no problem. I have a good friend there. He's also a Filipino captain. And she met this Filipino captain. They went to church. And then we started an online Bible study. We went through the Gospel of John. And she turned to Christ. Now she was moved again to Dubai. And I was able to give her a good church in Dubai, where she's growing in faith, where she's really becoming a true disciple. And I met her last December when she was on business trip here in Hamburg. It was a great, great joy to meet her. She comes from a very poor slum area, and now she's the general manager of a big, big tanker company. So what God is doing in her life when somebody is turning to Christ is just amazing. Next one, please. Yeah, on a cruise ship, very typical situation. I talk to a seafarer, and he listens. And he continues his food and continues to do his job. And then all of a sudden he came to me and I said, oh, you have books. Which books? What kind of books? And I explained to him and he said, I need many books for my friends at home. And now the gospel is going through these books to his friends in the Philippines. Next one. There's a typical situation last week. We are not only sharing the gospel, but we want to help the people practically. In wintertime, we deliver woolly hats, gloves, pullovers. Here are socks. The guy is just trying to wear the socks. And they are so happy for this practical help. And when you help them practically, they are more willing to listen to what you want to share spiritually. Yeah, so we want to help the whole person and their physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. Next one. This was just about 3 days ago, Thursday or Wednesday. A captain who is a strong Christian holding Bible study on his ship, he was so happy when I came and shared the word of God with the crew. And then on Thursday night, I had the inner urge, I need to go back to the ship. And I met the chief engineer on the very right side. He was sitting alone in a room, and we started to talk about Christ, and we shared more, and he had a strong desire to accept Christ as a Savior. And he was so happy that he found Christ on that very night, Thursday night. So you can pray for Ronald, that he will grow in faith, that he will find a good church when he gets home to the Philippines. We are very excited that the captain is able to disciple him on his journey. But it's always a joy when people really turn to Christ. I mean, there's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Next one. Yeah, these are books and Bibles and You see here some gloves and some woolly hats and some socks. This is like a normal day looks, yeah, what we bring on board ship. Next one. We are not only working on ships, cargo ships, cruise ships, but we also work with maritime colleges and agencies in the Philippines, because our desire is that the people hear the word of God already in the Philippines before they join the ship. And here we have agencies. They are grateful for Christian literature. They just wrote us a little notice. Thank you very much. It's very helpful. Next one. Yeah, okay, you can go on. Next one. Last year, I had a chance to be in the Philippines to visit different maritime schools and universities and shipping companies. And they always asked me to speak to the students. And here I was invited to speak on a topic of how to be a successful seafarer. And of course, when we have such a topic, we can easily include the gospel. And they are, although they are Roman Catholic, very strong Catholics, they are very happy when you share the word of God. And I've in one school, I've asked them, was it too much of the gospel? They said, no, go on. They were so happy. Yeah, so beautiful opportunities. Next one. I have a lot of ambassadors that I meet in the Philippines, not political ambassadors, but people who we have met and who continue our ministry in the Philippines, on the schools, on the universities. This is here, Dr. Glenn Blaskis. He is not a Christian yet, but he takes all my books and distributes them into maritime colleges, agencies, and even to the government. He goes into the Malacan Palace, and he gives the president a book, the president of the Philippines. And it's amazing how God uses him. On the left side is the owner of a big agency. They have 80,000 seafarers employed. But we were able to give her also Christian literature. So I'm mentioning that because I'm always excited how God opens doors, even to the top levels. And we just want to know, God, what is your next step? Where do you want to lead us next? It's always like every few years, God has a different idea of the ministry. We started on visiting the seafarers, then we started establishing a seminar with to help the seafarers how to evangelize on their ships. Then we did a lot of networking worldwide. Then we started to work with the agencies and schools. And now I'm asking myself, what is the next step? What does God want to lead us on? Okay, next one. Yeah, this is just a thank you from the palace in the Philippines for a Christian book. Next one. This is Christmas, just last month. We were able to invite the crew, and we were giving out a lot of presents to them. And then we talked about the real present, Jesus Christ. And they were so happy, so delighted. And it's always touching for me to see how the people listen. If I talk with Germans about the gospel, they might listen for 30 seconds, and then they just say, oh, you know, it's boring, go on. But here they listen, they ask questions, and we continue, by the way, to follow up by email, by WhatsApp, by Messenger. So lots of opportunities to share Christ with these seafarers. Next one. Yeah, this is a typical Christmas presents. Okay, next one. That was the last picture. Okay, right. Well, so thank you very much for praying for this ministry. Presently, we are praying for people who can take over when I will stop this ministry. I probably have another 2 years to go, and then officially I will retire. I probably won't retire, but officially I probably won't do 100%, but maybe just 50% or less. So we need to pray to God for more workers into this mission field. Now the topic today is how do I overcome my fears in my life? And you might wonder, why did he choose that kind of topic? And I give you the reason. When I watch news, I always see that the world is getting more and more complicated. The world is getting more and more dangerous. The world is getting more and more crazy, really. The world is falling apart. We have more wars. We have more famines. We have more typhoons. We have more sicknesses. Corona has come. And I meet a lot of people now who are really afraid. What will tomorrow bring? How can I survive tomorrow? And especially during Corona, many people were afraid, oh, I hope I don't get Corona. And so the question is, how do I really overcome fears in my life? I was surprised to read, when I was dealing with this subject in the Bible, that God says a lot of times in the Bible, fear not. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Do not be afraid. I'll just give you an example. It says, for instance, fear not 302 times in 129 verses. So God knew that we would be in situations where we would be afraid, where fear would really disturb our faith life. But in 129 verses, it says, fear not. It says in 32 times in 7 verses, do not be afraid. In other verses, it says, be anxious for nothing. Do not fear. Do not worry. Or in Psalms, we read also that David said, I don't want to be afraid because I have God on my side. There are lots and lots of promises for us so that we do not have to be afraid. But still, we are human beings and we fear tomorrow. We fear certain things in our life. We have fear of death, fear of sickness. We have the fear that we might not expect what others want to see. We might not, how can I say? Oh, my English today. we're always in fear of people. Yeah. This is a very common fear. We are afraid of people. What do they think of us? How do they react to us? The question is, how did biblical people deal with fear in their life? Let me just give you a few examples. Jeremiah, for instance. Jeremiah was one of the very godly people. And we read in Jeremiah 1, 4 to 6. And the word of the Lord came to me thus, before I formed you in the womb, I know you. And before you came forth from the womb, I sanctified you to be a prophet to the nations. Then I said, O Lord, I cannot speak, for I am too young, and this is something that many of us may have said already. Lord, I cannot speak. Maybe God wanted us to share the word of God to a colleague, to a neighbor, to a friend, to a relative. And we said, no, Lord, no, that's not possible. I cannot speak. I'm not a preacher. I'm not wise enough. I'm not old enough, whatever. So Jeremiah also said, I cannot speak. Now, what does God do? How does God react? God says, then the Lord said to me, do not say that I am too young, for you shall go to all those to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to save you, says the Lord. And the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I'm putting my words in your mouth. So God understood the fear of Jeremiah, but he encouraged him. Do not be afraid. I will be with you. I go with you. I will give you the words you should speak. It's not you speaking. My Holy Spirit is speaking to the people. Don't believe that you're the great guy who are talking to the people. It's God who wants to speak to the people, but he wants to use you. He wants to work through you. And actually, we should be honored that God wants to use us. We should say, thank you, God. You give me an opportunity to share Christ with the next one. Wow, great. Let's go. But often we are afraid. Oh, we cannot. We don't have the words. We are afraid how they would react. How about Moses? The same situation. Moses said, I cannot speak. Moses was sent to Egypt to free the people of Israel. He said, I cannot speak. And God, in a very funny way, said to him, who gave you the mouth? Moses had to learn, okay, God, you gave me the mouth, but I cannot speak. I'm afraid to speak. And then God had a solution. God is a very understanding God. He says, did you not know that your brother Aaron is there? And he will speak for you. And I was amazed that God always has a solution. He never comes short. So no matter what your situation is, please remember, God never comes late. He always has a solution because he sees the world, he sees you from eternity. And that's why he knows exactly where you're in, exactly. How about the disciples? They were afraid when the boat was about to sink in the storm. The disciples went and woke him saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. Where's your faith? Jesus asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him. So again, Jesus was in control. He never loses control. I sometimes lose control, but he never loses. So when I devote myself to the Lord, we are under his command. We are under his direction. That means we will not lose control because God will guide us. How about Peter? He was a big speaker. Wow, I am Peter. I can do everything. I will not deny you, Lord. He walked on the water, and then what happened? He was afraid again because he saw the big waves. And the problems are sometimes like big waves for us. What did Jesus say? Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith. Why did you doubt? Why do we doubt Christ? I believe we doubt Christ because we take too little time to get to know him. And I want to encourage you, take time to get to know Christ. Take time to really learn about Jesus, what he did with the disciples, what he wants to do in your life. What do we learn from these four examples? We learn we can trust God because he prepared a solution. There is no situation, there is no problem that is too big for God. We read in Psalms 50:15, call upon me in trouble or in fear, I will deliver you and you shall praise me. Or another verse, Psalms 34, verse 4, I sought the Lord and he answered me, he delivered me from all my fears. So what does it say? I cannot overcome my fear. But the moment I seek the Lord, the moment I approach him and I go to the throne of grace and say, Lord, I need you. You have the overview. You know everything. I can expect God's help and God's solution. There are beautiful verses, beautiful promises in the Bible. I ask you to learn them by heart. They will be a big treasure for you. Psalms 11:28. I think everybody knows that verse. Come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest. How often you've heard that verse? Can I see hands? Somebody knows that? I see a lot of hands. You know that verse. Just claim it. Why did God give us this verse? To be encouraged, to be challenged, to come closer to God, and to use the Word of God in practical situations. God is a practical God. He wants to use us for His glory. Learn to live with the Word of God. But also there is another thing that will help us if we remember the things that God has done in our life. Think back when you have a problem. How did God act in times before when I was in a situation similar to the one I'm now in? Because King David said, Psalms 105, verse 3, do not forget the good things God has done for you. We so easily forget what God has done in our life. Sometimes it might be helpful if you sit down and please write down all the blessings that God has done for you. But I must warn you, you need a lot of time because God has done a lot for you. It's so much God has done for us. So remember what God has done. Remember and then praise God for that. Now, let me be very practical. How did I deal with fear? Now, I don't say that I am the expert, that I always overcome fear. I don't say that, no. But I want to give you a few examples so that you know practically how it could look like. I was in Switzerland years ago. We had a beautiful holiday in a big house. A Christian businessman gave us the house, and my wife, myself, and the children were happy for that beautiful location. And my wife said, okay, I go swimming with the girls. I was sick at that time. I had a strong cold. I couldn't go swimming, so I had to stay back in the house. While they were swimming, I suddenly got some strange fear. Ah, what happens if in this big house somebody would break in? I'm alone. Some very strange fear. Did you ever experience that? I think some people did. And then what did I realize? What did I notice? That the fear is often a lie from the devil. He instilled that fear in my heart or in my mind. So what did I have to do? I had to claim the word of God. I'm with you until the end of the world. And the moment when I claimed that verse, deep peace and joy came into my heart. It was such a wonderful situation. Before I was afraid, oh, what happens? I'm alone. This house is too big. It's not even my house. And I said, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Jesus, that you're here. I opened all the doors and total freedom and peace came to my heart. It was wonderful. We can claim the name of Jesus. I love that song that you sang, the last song, right? Make known the name of Jesus, not only for the world, also for your life. I had another example. I told you that I was in the Philippines and I was meeting with big owners and CEOs and big bosses. And one night, I still picture that I was in my hotel room and I knew tomorrow you'll be having lunch with the CEO of a company of 80,000 people. And all of a sudden I got afraid. Who am I to talk to these big shots? And I thought by myself, oh, I made a big mistake. Why did I go to the Philippines? What nonsense did I do? And when I was thinking and arguing with myself, the word of God came to my mind, Isaiah 12:2. And I was glad that I learned that verse by heart. Surely God is my salvation. I will fear and not be afraid. The Lord Himself is my strength and my defense. And that verse changed everything. Next day, I could go to meet that person who just came from the president's office, and I could meet her as if we have always met for many times. God's word was taking me out of my fear, out of my problems. God's word gave me a new view to reality. The devil was a liar. He brought lies to me. Ah, oh, you're not able. You know, this job is too big for you. Wait a minute. Who are you? You've never talked to these big shots before. But God says, I am God. Don't be afraid. You have all possibilities with me. And then that owner, she even was happy for good books I could give her. You know what she did? She even wrote a letter through her president that we are supporting all the literature, all the books on Christians, on ships. So we have now her signature. We can give the books to the companies, to AIDA, to P&O Cruises, and so on. The devil is a father of lies. Let me just read John 8:44. Jesus said, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer of men from the beginning and did not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own self, for he is a liar and the father of it." Just remember, most of the fears are lies. And these fears come from the devil, who wants to get you away from a relationship with Christ. He wants to get you away from sharing Christ to other people. And he wants to get you into depression. I had a situation once when I was in my house. I don't know what I was doing, but all of a sudden, it was dark around me, really dark. And I was almost panicking. I had so much fear in my life, so much in my, I never experienced this before. And I thought, oh, I better lie down and sleep, and then it will be better. But then God spoke to me. I said, in the name of Jesus, Satan, go. I have nothing to do with you. And you know what happened? There was deep joy, deep peace in my life. Everything was gone. No darkness, no fear. And I know today that Jesus is reality. We're not talking about a theory God. We're talking about a practical God who wants to use you and me, no matter who you are, no matter where you are. Let us include Jesus more in our practical daily life. Let us not just wait for Sundays where we worship God, but let us include Jesus today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and go with him day by day. We are never alone. We are never alone. Did you know what Jesus was doing after he died and after he was resurrected? He set himself, or he was set next to the Father on the throne of God. And now what is he doing there? He only has one job to do. And he is doing that very faithfully. He's praying for you and for me. Jesus is praying for you and for me. How do I know? Because the Bible teaches me. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore he is able also to save them completely, because he always lives to intercede for them. He always lives to intercede for them. Not only sometimes he prays for you, always he prays for you. You are very important in God's eyes. So please, please do not let fear rule your life. Turn to Jesus. He already prayed for you today. And the problem that you see now will be gone or will be dealt with through the power of Jesus. Hebrews 9:24, another verse. For Christ did not enter the sanctuary once made with hands, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for you and for me. This is his job now. Until we are with him, he has only one job, to pray for us. And remember, he prays for you day and night, every day. The same we read in John 17, the high priest prayer. when Jesus prayed for the people that God had given him. So it's a wonderful God that we are serving, but we must understand that Jesus wants to be asked. We will not be free of fear automatically. We need to go this little step and say, Jesus, please come. Please help me. I want your help. If you try by yourself, it's a hard job, I can promise you. Don't try to overcome the fear by yourself, but go to Jesus. He's willing to help you. Now, in closing, I want to give you a few powerful promises from the Word of God so that we can overcome fear today, next week, and in the time to come. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, I am with you. Let's just listen to that. Fear not. This should really suck in your heart very deep. That's what God said. And if God says this, he knows you. From the very beginning, you were born. Fear not, I am with you. Do not flee, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. Very practical. He will help. He will not only speak words, theoretically. He will help us. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. John 16:33. I've spoken these things to you so that you may have peace. What a wonderful God. He's interested that we have peace. In the world you are afraid, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be encouraged. I have overcome the world. Now we have two choices. Always talk to the deceivers. I say you have two choices. You believe or you don't believe. You accept or you don't accept. So, what do you want to do? What is your choice? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Psalms 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Of whom shall I be afraid? In your job, no matter where you are, in your university, in your neighborhood, no person is there to be afraid of. No person. Because you are coming in the authority of God. You're not above these persons. It's not meant that we are more than them. We are not. We should be approaching them in a humble way, of course, but we are coming in the authority of Jesus Christ. 1 John 5, 4-5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I ask you a very, very funny question, or a strange question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Of course you believe. So if you believe, I want to encourage you, take his promises for yourself. Not for your neighbor, not for the next one. But take the promises for yourself. Jesus wants to deal with you personally. And don't believe you're not worthy of it. No. You're called by God from all eternity. You are important for God. So Jesus wants to act with you. He wants to use you, bless you, guide you. Amen.